Penguin Random House Audio presents Ageless, The New Science of Getting Older Without Getting Old. Written and read by Andrew Steele.
Introduction. Wrinkled, toothless, and ambling with a ponderous gait, it seems unlikely at first glance that the giant Galapagos tortoise could teach us anything about aging gracefully. They are eponymous inhabitants of the remote Galapagos Islands, a volcanic archipelago in the Pacific which draws its name from the old Spanish word, Galapago, meaning tortoise. These cumbersome reptiles can weigh over 400 kilograms and take decades to reach maturity on a diet of leaves and lichens. The Galapagos Islands were made famous after Charles Darwin visited in 1835, and their unique flora and fauna inspired his theory of evolution by natural selection. The giant tortoises were one of the many unusual species which greeted him, and he collected several specimens to return to England for further study. One of these tortoises, Harriet, went on to become the oldest recorded Galapagos tortoise. She finally succumbed to a heart attack in 2006 at the ripe old age of 175, surviving Darwin by well over a century. However, it's not their impressive longevity which is most interesting when it comes to the biology of aging. You could make the case that these tortoises' extreme long life is down to their slow pace of living rather than any special biological abilities. A candle which burns half as bright burns twice as long, so to speak. Far more interesting is that Galapagos tortoises, along with a few other species of tortoises and turtles, some fish, salamanders, and a handful of other stranger creatures, display what's called negligible senescence, a negligible loss of capacity as they age. Negligibly senescent animals have no obvious impairments of movement or senses as they get older, and they experience no age-related decline in fertility. Harriet was likely pretty much as sprightly at 170 as she was at 30, at the height of Queen Victoria's reign. Which is to say, not very. She was a giant tortoise, after all. We humans are not so lucky. As we advance in years, we become wrinkled, frail, and at increased risk of illness. Perhaps the most striking way to summarise our increasing frailty is to examine how our risk of death changes with time. Tortoises, being negligibly senescent, have a risk of death which is more or less constant with age. As adults, they have an approximately 1-2% chance of dying every year. We, by contrast, have a risk of death which doubles every 8 years. This doesn't start out so bad. Age 30, your odds of dying that year are less than 1 in 1,000. However, if you keep on doubling something, it can start small, but eventually get very large very quickly. At 65, your risk of death that year is 1%. At 80, 5%. And by 90, if you make it that far, your odds of not making your 91st birthday are a sobering 1 in 6. There is some evidence that this relationship flattens out after the age of 105 or so, meaning that these exceptionally long-lived people might have technically stopped aging. But with odds of death around 50% per year by then, they might wish it had flattened out slightly sooner. We enjoy a relatively long period of fitness, perhaps 5 or 6 decades, where our risk of death, disease, and disability is fairly low, before a precipitous rise in old age. Aging happens to all of us, and growing old brings experience and wisdom. To do so gracefully is something to aspire to. Since the dawn of life, aging has been a natural part of being alive. Thus, the word aging comes with a variety of connotations, not all of them negative. But from a biological perspective, perhaps the best and certainly the simplest definition of aging is the exponential increase in death and suffering with time. By this biological definition, tortoises don't age. They are quite literally ageless. This means that negligible senescence is sometimes known by another, more beguiling name, biological immortality. How do tortoises get old without getting elderly? And with the help of science, could we become ageless too? Modern science, particularly in the last couple of decades, has made huge strides in both our understanding of and our ability to intervene in the aging process. Aging impacts our biology at every level, from molecules to cells to organs to whole systems. I want to show you what is happening biologically as we age, and how understanding its scientific implications could lead to a complete transformation of medical care. Understanding aging could have enormous implications because it is by far the world's leading cause of death and suffering. While that might sound counterintuitive, looking at aging as a biological process makes the logic inescapable. As we age, our bodies accrue a familiar array of changes, from the superficial, like grey hair, wrinkles and elongating noses and ears, to the life-changing, like frailty, loss of memory and the risk of deadly diseases. The fundamental reason that our risk of death rises so swiftly is a rapid, synchronised increase in the odds of age-related disease. Even if you're relaxed about death itself, we all have to go sometime after all, then this risk of death is still a proxy for years of suffering at the hands of disability and disease, which we'd probably all rather avoid. Every extra year you live, your risk of getting cancer, heart disease, stroke, dementia, and many more terrible conditions increases inexorably. Doctors and scientists call anything that increases your chance of getting a disease a risk factor. These are things like smoking, being overweight, not getting enough exercise, and so on. But simply getting older, no matter how well you live, dwarfs their effects. In fact, being old is the single biggest risk factor for all of the diseases just mentioned. An 80-year-old is 60 times more likely to die than a 30-year-old. So too are they 30 times more likely to get cancer, and 50 times more likely to get heart disease. Having high blood pressure doubles your risk of having a heart attack. Being 80 rather than 40 multiplies your risk by 10. Dementia is extremely rare under the age of 60, but after that, the risk doubles every 5 years, even faster than the rising risk of death. From the perspective of disease risk, at least, it's better to be an overweight, heavy-drinking, chain-smoking 30-year-old than a clean-living 80-year-old. The end result of these synchronized increases in risk is a huge burden of disease. Half of people aged 65 have two or more long-term conditions. The average 80-year-old suffers from around 5 different diseases and takes a similar number of different types of medication for them. Even though it's entered into idiom, it's not really possible to die of old age. Instead, these diseases develop and progress until eventually one of them becomes severe enough to take your life. Then there are the changes that mean it's easier for you to get ill in other ways and make it dramatically worse when you do. For example, as we age, our immune system weakens and loses its edge at fighting infection. That can mean that a bout of the flu, which meant a week in bed as a youth, might be the end of you as a pensioner. Similarly, a broken bone might mean an annoying stint hobbling around wearing a plaster cast for a young person, but weeks in a hospital bed and a debilitating loss of muscle mass for an older person, making returning to normal life afterwards difficult or impossible. Finally, there are the symptoms which quietly eat away at quality of life. A loss of mental acuity, forgetfulness, or increasing anxiety which doesn't meet the threshold for dementia. A decrease in muscle strength, plus conditions like rheumatism and arthritis, which reduce our ability to get about or do things around the house on our own. And embarrassing or inconvenient changes, from impotence to incontinence. Together, even if you've not got a specific disease to diagnose, these combine to sap our independence, self-esteem, enjoyment of life, and contribution to society as our years advance. We're used to considering every item in this laundry list of diseases and dysfunctions as an individual condition, largely separate from the others. Our approach to medicine is correspondingly idiosyncratic, with drugs and operations for cancer and heart disease, vaccines to prevent infections, and walking sticks and social care to help with everyday life. The root cause, the aging process itself, we ignore entirely. The universality of aging means that it has enormous consequences. Imagine the life-changing effects of getting older on an individual, the decreasing independence and quality of life, coupled with the dramatically increasing risk of disease and death, multiplied by billions of people. Nor does it just affect those who are old and infirm today. Most of us at some stage will need to care for an elderly friend or relative. The effects of aging reverberate around society, impacting all of our lives. About 150,000 people die every day on Earth. Over 100,000 of them die because of aging. This means that, globally, aging is responsible for more than two-thirds of deaths, and over 90% in rich countries. Tens of millions suffer over years or decades as their health deteriorates. A natural disaster on this scale would be utterly unprecedented. A huge and immediate international relief effort would be mounted, even if success was uncertain.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?